This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, with so much climate chaos in the news, wildfires, heatwaves and floods, it's a worrying time, particularly if you were already anxious about the climate. So last week, we heard about the advice from the magnificent Canadian climate scientist, Catherine Hayhoe. She says, we can't give in to despair. We have to go out and look for the hope we need to inspire us to act. And that hope begins with a conversation today. So taking her advice, we heard from Ro Jackson, who's already a seasoned advocate of the art of the climate conversation. And if you missed the show, then no worries. Just head to the podcast page of mix92.6.com where you'll find it and you can listen at your leisure. Now, I mentioned at the end of that show that I like the idea of sustainability author, blogger and influencer Jen Gale of Sustainablish. She decided to use her response to the question, how are you, as a potential way into a climate conversation. Now, I am delighted to say that Jen was able to join me to tell me more about her idea and give us some more tips on how to overcome our difficulties in raising the issue of climate change, both to help us cope with any climate anxiety and also because it's one of the most effective tools we have if we want to do something to help. Jen, thank you so much for joining me today. So just to start with, I wondered how you are feeling about the climate right now. What do you think that you feel that the current news of all the fires and the floods and the heat waves is having on you personally?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it's a really important question and one that we maybe should be asking each other a little bit more often. I think if you'd asked me a couple of weeks ago, I was really struggling then, finding it really difficult. You know, it really does now start to feel like climate breakdown, doesn't it? The news that we're seeing and the extreme weather events that we're seeing, coupled with the decision by the UK government to go ahead and issue, you know, new oil and gas licenses and things like that. I was finding it really, really difficult. I have, however, just had a week's holiday with, you know, not great Wi-Fi. So, you know, having disconnected a little bit, I guess, from it, I think that probably helps. I think like most of us who are tuning into this kind of stuff, you know, I feel a little bit like if you're not worried, you're not paying attention. I think most people probably are. If we sat down and asked them, are you worried about this? The majority of people would say yes. And it's very easy, isn't it, to feel overwhelmed and hopeless and powerless. And I think what I'm slowly learning to do is to sit with those emotions when, you know, I feel like I sort of survive with a very low level sort of background hum of climate anxiety. And then, you know, as we've seen in the past few weeks, that will sometimes sort of peak depending on what's happening and what's happening politically and what's happening climate wise in the news. And I think it's really important to acknowledge those feelings and to be okay about them, because there's the whole around this issue of climate anxiety, we shouldn't pathologize it. It's not a disorder. It's a very normal, natural response to what we're seeing. And as I said, if you're not worried, you're probably not paying attention. So anybody who is paying attention to this probably is feeling a degree of climate anxiety. And I would imagine we're probably all the same in that it's a bit of a roller coaster of ups and downs. And most of the time we maybe manage to keep a lid on it. So at the moment it's feeling a little bit more manageable, but I think that's probably because I've had less exposure to social media and less doom scrolling for the last sort of week or 10 days.
Well, enjoy that whilst it lasts, Jen. That's good to hear. And so can you tell us about your great idea about how to turn all the bad news and our feelings about it into something positive in your ideas about our response to the question, how are you?
Yeah, so this just happened. An old school friend actually contacted me on LinkedIn about something completely separate. And I know from sort of following his social media feeds that he's somebody is, I guess the phrase would be climate aware. Like he, you know, this is something that he's sort of already on board with and already trying to do a lot around. And we sort of dealt with what needed to be dealt. And then he said, oh, you know, and how are you? And I said, oh, actually, not great at the moment. I'm really struggling with all the climate news. How about you? And that just felt like quite a useful thing to do. And I, and again, I did it with another old school friend. We were, we'd met up for lunch, a group of us. And, you know, one of them said, oh, how's work going? And, you know, and I sort of did the, oh, you know, yeah, yeah, it's good, it's busy. And then I sort of took a big deep breath and I went, but actually, I'm really struggling. I'm finding this really hard at the moment, working in this space, in the climate space, not being, I guess, not having the luxury of being able to look away, not having the luxury of assuming somebody else will sort that out. And I said, I'm really struggling at the moment. I'm finding it quite difficult. How do you feel about it? And we didn't then have, you know, a half hour massively in-depth conversation where she ended up coming out of this as a climate evangelist. But we started a conversation about it. And I think that that's really, really important. Just starting a conversation, just acknowledging that this is something that, that we're worried about, even if the conversation then only lasts 30 seconds or a minute, it opens the door to another conversation next time. And like, oh, how are you still feeling? Are you feeling a little bit better about this? Or is there anything you've been able to do differently? Or how are you, you know? And so I think sometimes I will hold my hand up. I talk about having climate conversations a lot on social media, and I run something called Carbon Literacy Training, which is an 8-hour course. And the theme that runs through that, or the thread that runs through that, is the importance of talking about it. But I still find it very difficult with friends and family, which I think most of us do, you know, and then it can feel like we're shoehorning it into a conversation, or that we're, I don't know, making a judgment on something that they've done. And so just honestly answering that how are you question, and I guess that's the same with all, you know, mental health initiatives and things, isn't it? Like actually properly answering that how are you question, not maybe not every single time, and not when somebody asks you in the shop or those sorts of things, but when you have the opportunity and there is that time and it does feel like a safe space to be able to say, do you know what, actually really struggling at the moment with climate anxiety or eco-anxiety or whatever other kind of anxiety or mental health things you might have going on. But I think that might be a nice,
it's a nice kind of starter, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels like an easier in, doesn't it?
The thing I really liked about it is that it can be beneficial. It can be beneficial on a lot of levels. So if the person actually feels like you and is also very anxious, then it's a chance for you to help each other. But on the other hand, if it's somebody who really isn't climate aware, then it's perhaps a beginning of a journey for them. Or it perhaps is the start of them being able to understand a bit more about you and how you feel. So whichever of those situations, it's very beneficial, isn't it? It doesn't really matter what the response is.
Yeah, and I think there's this whole concept, it's called pluralistic ignorance, and it basically means that we feel very alone in our concerns around the climate because nobody's talking about it. And so we think we're the only ones, whereas actually all the surveys, all the stats show us 80% usually is around of people, if asked, are you worried about the climate crisis, would say yes. But we think it's just us. We think we're the only ones doing anything about it. We think everyone else is carrying on regardless and completely oblivious to it. And because nobody's talking about it. And so it becomes this kind of circle of silence, and actually just stepping out of that circle and saying, do you know what, I'm really worried about it. And so my friend who we sort of were out for lunch with and I wouldn't necessarily classify as climate aware, she said, yeah, I am worried about it. Of course, you know, and seeing the news, and it is really scary. And so we went on and had a little chat about that. And it can make you feel less alone as the person who is climate aware. Or as you said, if it's somebody who maybe isn't, chances are they probably are a little, you know, if you push them a little bit anxious about it and worried about it, and you've given them that realization that, oh, yeah, no, I haven't actually processed this, and maybe I am a bit, and maybe I would like to find out a little bit more and yes, become a little bit more aware.
And perhaps also by talking to you, it kind of breaks their circle of silence, doesn't it? And it means that it's something that, well, for a start, they're more likely to talk with their friends, but also more likely to acknowledge, for instance, I don't know, in situations where they're talking to political candidates or teachers at school, or, you know, people who are in a position to make a, you know, a real substantial difference.
Yeah, I feel a lot of the time like I spend my time preaching to the choir, and I'm in this sort of eco-echo chamber or this climate bubble or whatever you like to call it. And so actually I think this gives us a real opportunity to break out of that and to have very real conversations with, air quotes, non-greenies, you know, with people, and to And I guess maybe if they then say to you, yeah, I am really worried, but what can I do about it? Have this exact conversation with your colleague at work or another friend who's not in our social circle, or as you say, an MP or somebody in a leadership position somewhere. Like, have more of these conversations, and that doesn't cost us anything other than a bit of a pulling on our big girl pants maybe and a bit of time, but it's doesn't cost us anything financially, which is often the barrier for people taking action.
Yeah. I also like the fact that just by saying I'm worried about it, it is something which doesn't feel judgmental. It's something that's kind of hard to argue with, really, isn't it? It's just how you're feeling.
And that's super important, isn't it? Because people can argue with you about facts or stats or those sorts of things, but actually your feelings are your feelings. They are 100% valid. Nobody can argue with you about your feelings. So that's one of the things I always say to people when I'm talking about having climate conversations is to talk about your feelings. And as human beings, we're hardwired to relate to stories rather than facts and figures. So you might say, oh, I saw that, I don't know, this particular stat or this particular weather event happened, and I'm really worried about, you know, and then follow it up with a feeling. So you might use the event or the statistic or whatever as a sort of hook, but then to follow it up with your feeling. And exactly as you said, nobody can argue with you about your feelings. They can't say, no, you're not worried. And it's like, well, yeah, I am. They might say, oh, well, you shouldn't be worried. That doesn't change anything. I still am worried.
So I do find talking with people who I don't think are climate aware really, really quite difficult. I do feel a little bit nervous about, I don't know, being seen as being a little bit weird, I suppose. It still doesn't feel normal. So have you got any tips to, I don't know, help the way I feel about it not feeling normal?
I completely empathize it. Like, I think I'm probably in that same situation as well. And every time when I do the carbon literacy course, I say to people, like, what stops you having conversations? And exactly the same themes come up again and again. Not wanting to be judged, not wanting to be seen to be judging other people, not avoiding confrontation. You know, the kind of eye roll reaction, like, oh God, she's off on one again, that kind of thing. So there's a whole body of research at the moment around social norms and what makes something suddenly become a social norm. And as I said, we know that the stats are telling us 80% of people are worried about this. Only about, I don't know, I think sort of 10 to 15% of people are sort of actively engaged in this. And in order for something to become a social norm, we need to hit about 25% of a population. So actually, the more of these very gentle conversations we can have, hopefully that will move us towards that tipping point. And I guess the only thing we can do to make something more normal is to do more of it. And that takes a degree of confidence, that takes a degree of stepping out of our comfort zones initially and getting it wrong sometimes. So I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves when we're thinking about, God, I listened to that episode and I'm going to have a climate conversation with somebody, and we think, okay, so my job is to make them realize how important this issue is, to get them to completely turn their life upside down and start doing X, Y, and Z and stop doing X, Y, and Z and bring them on board or whatever it might be. No, it's not. Our job is literally just to have a climate conversation and to talk about how we're feeling about it. That's all we've got to do. And that can be 30 seconds, it can be half an hour, it can be whatever. So I think maybe taking the pressure off ourselves and allowing ourselves to get it wrong, because there will be conversations that you walk away from and go, oh, that didn't go very well, did it? I didn't handle that very well. I feel a bit like I jumped down their throats, or that they got very defensive. And so then actually maybe allowing ourselves a little bit of time to go, rather than going, oh God, that didn't work, I'm never going to do that again. Okay, so where did it start to go wrong? How might I have handled that differently? What can I think about next time? Because I don't know about you, but I can literally feel the stress building. Like, if somebody says something, you know, I literally can feel, like, my heart rate starts going, you know, all those sort of classic adrenaline responses. And obviously that's probably not a great way to be having a very real conversation with somebody, is it? When you're just like, oh no, but you're wrong. And you just need to... There's a brilliant video about having climate conversations, and it's about listening. We've probably all heard of this phrase of, like, active listening, and just rather than waiting for somebody to stop so you can jump in on a conversation, actually listening to what they're saying, regardless of whether you agree with it or not, just listening, letting them say their piece, and then going, that's super interesting. Would you mind if I let you know how I'm feeling about it? And that's what a conversation is, isn't it? We don't have to agree on everything. So I guess bearing that in mind might be vaguely helpful.
Yes, and I also love what you're saying, that actually it's something that we're all on a journey. We get started somewhere, set your ambitions low, and then we'll get better at it.
Yeah, and you know, that thing you said about, you know, set your ambitions low is brilliant, I think. And, you know, go for the low-hanging fruit. Go for the person who you already know is on board, whether that's somebody online or somebody that you know in real life, and say, you know, should we just have a little practice conversation, or how are you feeling about it? Pick somebody who you think you're going to be able to have a constructive conversation with first, and you know, have a practice.
Yes, but the main thing is just give it a try and keep persevering. Anything you do is going to help, isn't it?
Yeah, and it, you know, it doesn't have to be every single conversation. I mean, everybody would turn off quite rapidly, I think, if, you know, every single conversation you had with somebody turned into a deep and meaningful about the climate. So you need to pick your time, and you need to be, you know, I guess there's nothing worse than a climate bore, or, you know, even though it's probably on our minds all of the time, or a lot of the time, we do need to be aware that there are other things that people might be concerned about, and be really sensitive as well. They're, you know, if people have got other things on their plate in terms of health concerns or financial worries or all those sorts of things, obviously that needs to be taken into account when we're having these conversations. But I think we probably need to be doing it more than we are at the moment.
Absolutely. Jen, thank you so much for giving us that encouragement. And I'm definitely hoping to persevere and do a little bit more in this area. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I was talking there to Jen Gale. And if you would like more of Jen's down-to-earth but effective advice, then take a look at her books. There's The Sustainable-ish Living Guide and The Sustainable-ish Guide to Green Parenting. And I'll put a link to Jen's website into the notes that accompany the podcast of this show, and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And there's information about the books there too. Now, I'd really love to hear if you have plucked up the courage to give it a try and pop the subject of the climate into a conversation that you've had. Whether it went well or, well, not so well, do let me know. You can get in touch with me via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. Now, I'm going to be back at the same time next week, when we will be finding out where the waste and the recycling that we put into our bins in Hertfordshire ends up. But until then, thank you for listening.